This episode is brought to you by Hulu Plus. You got to get it on with these guys. Hulu Plus gives you total control to watch thousands of shows wherever you want, whenever you want. You can binge on entire seasons and watch your favorite current shows like Community, South Park, SNL, and more. And right now, our listeners can get an extended free trial, free, of Hulu Plus by going to HuluPlus.com/ADD. Of course, that's Adam, Dr. Drew, /ADD. Again, HuluPlus.com/ADD.
This is Corolla Digital.
Hey, I'm Adam Corolla.
I'm Dr. Drew.
And we are here to ask you to do us a little favor. If you like what you hear, share it with a friend.
Nice. Keep the pirate ship afloat, right?
Yeah. Well, that's the only advertising we got. But it's the best kind.
It is.
Word of mouth.
It is.
Whose mouth?
Yours. Not yours. Theirs.
Theirs.
Theirs, yes.
That's right. Thank you in advance for telling a friend, and enjoy the show.
Recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Corolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on, Mandate. Get on. Thank you so much for supporting the show. And if you want to check us out, you go online. You go to AdamandDrDrewShow.com. You click through the Amazon link, show us a little support, or you can subscribe via the PayPal button and show us a little support. And yeah, just $5 a month. All the free advice you're getting. And now we're taking some phone calls. This show had another growth and learning experience with
you
my
did.
Beautiful wife, Lynette.
Oh, poor mm-hmm. Lynette. Would she see it that way, too? Would she describe it as a growth and learning experience?
Yes.
What happened?
Yes. There is a thing that we use on children, and we never stop using them on children, but somehow we're not supposed to use on adults.
A whip?
A belt. No. This thing, think about what you would ask of your children. The things you would ask at different stages of their life, but the things you would ask of them and what you would accept if they provided certain answers. Do you know what I mean?
We're talking about like pick up your toys and this kind of thing? Or what?
Well, let's say anything from every time I come into the bathroom, the heating element on the ceiling is yeah. buzzing away in your bathroom while it's July and you're out of the house. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And they said, you know, buzz off, old man. Well, that would not be an acceptable answer.
You'd make a consequence.
You'd make a consequence and you'd have a discussion. But the yeah. discussion would be to prevent
fire.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. 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 And or whatever. I didn't do my homework. What happened? It was raining and got wet. You know, whatever yeah. it is. You'd have discussions.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
My point is when adults are engaging in behaviors that are destructive mm-hmm. to some degree.
Problematic.
We should be allowed to have discussions with them.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You would know it from watching your show. But the point is this. Whatever
you never watch my fucking show anyway, so
Lynette
what the
watches
hell?
It. But whatever.
Well, ask her.
All right. The point is this. The point is this. We had a situation, and here's the title of this show. Your first step doesn't always need to be forward.
That's the title for today's podcast?
That's right. Dig.
I'm listening.
Dig.
Where does it need to be?
I'll tell you what it is. We had a situation. We were at Jimmy's wedding last weekend, and I was I got a blowout on her car on 4th of July and had like the worst I can't even begin.
Tire?
Yeah, I can't begin that odyssey. She was in Florida. I cannot go down that odyssey. It hurts my back and my soul too much. Anyway, I then needed to get the tire fixed. I got my guy. I bought tires from the online, from Tire Rack. I had them shipped here. I got the rim off. I brought it over here. I had my guy take it to the tire place and have it mounted and balanced. And then I was going to have the guy come up on a Friday and mount the thing up. Because while we were out of town, I wanted my nanny shuttling around the kids in the vastly safer form of transportation.
Okay, got it.
Which was my wife's new German car.
Got it.
But because I'm conscientious, when I was driving home about 2 p.m. on Friday, getting ready to leave for Ojai, I noticed the hill was backed up, traffic everywhere, accidents, I don't know, cops out in the intersection. The general clusterfuck that is LA.
Also, that was when that tanker blew up, wasn't it?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
So there was a problem. So because I'm me, I immediately called Rob and said, don't try to come up here. Now, most folks that weren't as good as me would go, fuck it. Let him sit in traffic, get that tire on there on a Friday afternoon.
Okay.
But I said, fuck it. Don't come up here. It's too trafficy. Come Saturday. Just come in the morning time sometime on Saturday. Oh, Olga will shuttle the kids around starting Saturday. Fine. Then I said to Olga, I want you driving Lynette's car while we're gone, after the tire gets on with Rob. And then as we left, I said, Rob's coming on Saturday. And we hit the road.
Okay.
And we got into our room. We went out, did some karaoke singing. Tide went on.
That's
had a
cool.
good time. Slept in. Woke up about 11 in the morning. And Lynette opened her purse and she said, I have both my set of keys in my purse.
Oh, Jesus.
And I said, you have both your sets of keys in your purse? And Rob's coming to the house to move the car? And she said, yep. And then she paused and she said, why didn't you tell me Rob was coming earlier?
Did you get furious?
No.
What'd you do?
I said,
we need to talk.
I don't have to tell you that. I don't know if Olga told you. I don't know when I told you. It's moot because you're supposed to have your keys.
For Olga.
For Olga,
yeah.
Who never communicated with her, yeah. Evidently. And or on the front place that we've discussed about keeping them for when you're in the shower and I need to move your car, I need to know where they are. Mm-hmm. I can't search through your purse, which I don't know where that is. I need them here to help things move along.
So how did you engage in said conversation?
It started to go off the rails.
Fast, I'm sure. Don't yell at me.
Things don't go off the rails in a slow fashion.
Don't yell at me. It starts with that.
It went back and forth, but as my good friend Kevin Hench says, why is the first step always forward? Meaning the answer shouldn't be, why didn't you tell me Rob was coming to change a tire? The answer should have been, oh, shit, I fucked up.
Yes.
I brought both set of keys.
Right.
This shall not happen again.
Yes. Well,
first
you
step,
and I, but you and I.
Well, my but point most- is you and I, because you and I learn. You
no, but we taking, don't, you know what else? We don't get shattered. We don't collapse when we admit wrongdoing or feel ashamed.
Well, nobody just, should.
Well, people are intolerant of shame and guilt.
I understand, and that's what I'm saying, which is do not make your first step forward all the time. First step forward leads to two things, confrontation and not solving a problem.
You know what it boils down to? Really. It's we have low self-esteem. So we're always expecting
yes.
to feel like shit and to be blamed for things. People that have high self-esteem, it's incongruous to them, and they are always defending the high self-esteem because it must be something out there because it's not them.
You
can't change that,
yes,
really.
Yes, you can.
Well, not the
yes,
position.
Yes, you can.
You can change the behavior. You can't change the positioning.
We had a discussion that started off heated.
Mm-hmm.
With her thing was like, well, you know, why are you always coming at me?
Yeah.
And my thing is like, listen to me. When I buy you a $80,000 car and then I pay a nanny to transport the kids in it because it's safer, and then I buy a tire and I have my guy who I pay mount and balance it and take it up on a weekend to change it for the thing, I am not going to start apologizing for that. And the fact that you've brought both sets of keys with you on vacation when in a car that you're not driving, that needs to be the focus of this. And I can never anticipate that. And also, we've spent a good part of our adult life discussing where you place your keys, which is not helpful to a guy who's working on his third book, a Paul Newman documentary, an independent film, and doing 8 podcasts a day. So I would like to solve this problem. And the way we're not going to solve it...
By fighting,
or you wanting to know why I didn't tell you Rob was coming.
Right.
So, I want to step back, and I want to stop this from happening. And at the end of a, you know, start off a little heated back and forth, mm-hmm. and then it got into, okay, let's do it. Not going to happen again. Going to focus on this. And there it was, and we got on and had a merry weekend. Now, my point is this. People do this all the time where they go, oh, don't even bring it up. Don't even get in. Ooh, you don't want to go there. I mean, it's a societal joke, but it's a running joke, and it's amongst every male I know, and females, too, and you, too, who are somewhere between the male and the female, where it's
Thank you.
Oh, boy, ooh, don't even bring that up. Like, I am going to bring it up because, A, I have a guy going to the house now with a tire that he can't put on your car, so I must contact that guy.
I think you got traction because it was about the kids. Bottom line, if we're mm-hmm. really about you or your comfort or your...
It's never about me. Mm-hmm. It's mm-hmm. rarely about me. It's usually about something that will benefit the household
yes.
in a greater
yes.
good.
But when it really is about the kids, you get much more traction.
No. I found an argument is an argument, but I am working on this, and Lynette is working on this, and things are... much better, and these things come up on rare occasion.
Good.
And when they do, it's a simple fix. You're right. Handle it. Make a note. Not going to happen again. And then we move right on.
Fair enough.
And I always the notion that people who do battle with you, and this is everybody who goes, oh, like you would let it go at that. Yes, I would. I think almost everyone would let go with a, you're right, I was wrong, I screwed up, I know we've talked about it in the past, and it is not going to happen again.
But if it does, doesn't that get a little frustrating?
Yes, and it does multiple
yeah.
times. And yes, it gets a little frustrating because what it does is it starts to negatively impact your life. It's not...
But it also feels... You feel... also emotionally diminished by it because, like, I don't keep you in mind enough to be able to care to focus on these things, right? Isn't it a little bit of that?
Yeah. Yes, there's a little yeah. bit a why so laissez-faire.
Right. If you understood how important this was to me, you would keep it in mind. But
yes.
you don't care enough about my experience to keep it in mind.
There is
That's
an
hurtful.
Element.
That's hurtful.
It is hurtful.
Yeah.
Yes. But the point is the dialogue is open and problem theoretically solved, mm-hmm. or at least few and far between.
Improved.
Okay. Improved, and argument over, moving on for brunch.
All right.
Now,
take calls.
Should we take some phone
yes,
calls?
Yes, we shall.
Did I, yes, did
Talk
I
to Sean.
Tell everyone to support the show? Did I tell everyone to go to fundanything.com? And,
well, which are they supposed to do? Are they supposed to support this show or fund anything? I'm a little angry about that.
That's a good point.
I think other people funding your movie.
But when you go to the grocery market, what is it? Well, what do I buy? Spaghetti or spaghetti sauce? What's the answer?
Both.
Thank you.
So Road Hard and Adam and Drew Show.
Yeah.
You need to see,
have I showed you me and Cranston?
No.
I've not showed you that video?
No.
Oh, we got to queue up that video. It plays online. You know what a fabulous performer Bryan Cranston is?
Oh, yeah.
It's great. Like, to me, it's like when these guys do all these big roles in these big movies and all that kind of stuff, that is fine. But when you see the little glimmers of it just at his house, knocking out this video, asking people to contribute to the campaign. And it's not charity. You get Blu-rays, and you get scripts, and you get t-shirts.
So you're
buying a ticket. Here's what you're doing.
You're buying a ticket to see the film,
basically. You're buying a ticket to a premiere of
advance.
A movie that doesn't exist yet unless enough tickets are sold.
So is there going to be a premiere that you get to go to?
Oh, that's yeah.
One of the, okay. And you can buy a speaking role in the film, right?
Yeah. You get to say what I tell you to say, though. You can't just start screaming the N-word and running around.
No, of course. You have to go with the script.
Yeah.
How come I don't get to have a speaking role in the film?
You
have to pay for it?
I saw in the Olsen films.
Well, that was terrible. You saw me at the end of the Dawson's Creek thing, though. That was good.
It's true. All right, you want to check out this Cranston
video?
I think you'll like it. So, hey, what a great performer he is.
You know, ever since Sports Illustrated called my last movie, The Hammer, the best sports comedy of 2008, people have been asking, when are you going to make another movie, Ace? Well, I haven't.
It's long overdue.
It's called Road Hard. And with the generosity and help of people like you, and of course an assist from Mr. Bryan Cranston, I know it's going to be a huge success.
Hey, I'm flattered that I'm even, you know, involved in a small part.
You're flattered. I'm co-starring in a movie with Bryan Cranston. I mean, that is awesome.
Wait a minute. No. But I'm happy to help you here doing this, raising the money for it, but I can't be. Oh, God. I can't be in the movie with you.
But when I. Yeah, that's the name of the movie. But
Ride 'em hard.
No, it's not gay porn. It's a movie about a comic on the road and the struggles.
Did you see Argo by any chance?
Did you?
Yeah. Kind of carried that movie, right?
Yeah. No, you were great.
It won Best Picture, an Oscar.
Yeah.
Out of all the pictures.
Yeah.
The best.
Right. That's why I came to you to be in Road Hard, because I was like,
right.
That
but do you see where that would go? Like, you know what I mean? My agents would take a shit in the middle of Wilshire Boulevard if they heard that I was going to be in a movie with you.
Is there any circumstance under which you'd work on Road Hard?
No. If you backed up a Brinks truck.
God, he has great timing.
His timing.
Bumped into another Brinks truck that was unloading the money for me. That it would take.
Just watch his timing.
For me to do this movie.
Okay,
and the carts would bump into this mound of cocaine that was up there and women everywhere. And then still, no. I would rather play the gay pimp in Deuce Bigelow, Pakistani Gigolo.
Did he make that up right now?
If I had to give my agents a choice between doing an Adam Carolla film or doing a snuff film, they would have to discuss it.
Disgusting.
If they were remaking Deliverance, I would sign on to the Ned Beatty part before I would do a role in your movie. I would take it in the ass before I would do your movie.
I feel like I'm getting that now, right? And it's dry.
I don't mean to insult you, but it's like, and yeah. God, if I was doing this.
First off, God save me if you ever decided to insult me.
He's holding his Emmys and laughing.
Oh, come on. You've got to see the absurdity in what you asked me, right?
I thought it was a long shot, and then you said, I'd love to be a part.
Oh, my God. That is funny.
He's drying his tears with his sleeve.
Your movie.
You not being in the movie?
No, where you ask someone something so ridiculous that it's just obvious. It's funny to the audience, and then your character's like, what? It's good. It's self-deprecating. It's good. It works.
It hurts. It's cruel. It's painful.
It is funny. No. Have you ever felt one of these?
This is his idea.
No, I'm just asking. I don't want you to touch it.
Yeah. Yeah, me.
I think maybe you should leave.
It's my house.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
There's a end.
He is so fucking good.
Watch this.
Why don't you call your buddy Kimmel and get Matt Damon's number or something? That must be weird for you, huh? Kimmel's now the new king of late night and you're still doing a podcast?
He's unbelievable.
I have a million questions.
All right, hold on. We have... And we'll be launching an outtakes reel, like many other takes and many other things you never saw on this.
Of that little piece.
I just watched it the other day. His acting is even better on this 2-minute and 15-second outtakes reel.
What you got to see is, the comedic timing is ridiculous. But then he has some takes when he's looking seriously at you. It cuts through you. It's like, that's the...
Yeah, oh no.
Breaking Bad, man.
Oh,
that's the same guy.
He does Breaking Bad in the outtakes one.
Oh,
yeah. I think he just got a star on Hollywood Walk of Fame.
How the fuck did you, my next question?
Really?
Like just this week or something.
How the fuck did you get him to do that? And A, it leaves you open to the question of, is he in the film? It still leaves that question open.
Well, we'll see. He is a genuinely decent human being.
Charitable, I dare say.
No, I don't. I don't want to call him charitable because I don't know that.
Okay.
And thank you for looking at me as charity.
It was meant that way.
He's he's getting a star. Oh,
in the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Yes,
not, I guess today as we record it.
As we record it. So he's a really good guy, and he came in here because he's a good guy, and we had a nice conversation about growing up in Chatsworth and San Fernando Valley and having crazy moms and stuff like that.
He has interesting family history. He talked about a lot on Stern the other day.
Yes, and then when we were done, I drove him to the airport just because he had a car service or something, and I said, oh, you don't need a car, so I'll drop you off. It was Burbank, and I drove him to the airport. And it was a regular guy from the Valley. Like me, and we had a nice conversation, and he'd come back on the show and we'd have more nice conversations. And when
I'm infinitely more talented,
I did write those jokes.
Okay, all right, fair enough.
Could probably write better than him.
True,
he's a
true.
Great actor. And I said to him,
still don't see why I'm not in your film.
Remember the part where he could act, and that where I said to him, I said, look, Brian, I got this idea, and he said, I'd love to help you out, but in New Mexico, shooting Breaking Bad, because they have to go to New Mexico because we hate tax revenue here.
Yeah.
So they were supposed to be in Riverside, but they're in New Mexico, and Riverside's going to go bankrupt.
Right.
But he's in New Mexico, and then he's going to Toronto.
Another place that likes tax revenue.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd love just to see the tax bill that Bryan Cranston has rung up in these other places other than the place where he lives, which is Southern California.
Yeah.
All right. But anyway, stay the course.
Yeah.
It's a fine system.
Pathetic. And well, the new mayor is thinking about trying to figure out ways to undo that.
What?
Yeah. Shocking.
Why would he do that?
I know.
Well, we have such a great system. Everyone's moving to Texas to start a business, and everyone's going to Toronto to shoot a movie. What? Why would you... Why would you fix that? And by the way, are you kidding me? Raise the taxes because these guys are all fleeing to Texas and Toronto, and you, who are staying behind, should start paying your fair share. What do you... Listen, Drew, it's simple math. Everybody who can leave with a business of any kind, even super liberal Hollywood, leaves the second they can save a nickel. So, look. I didn't go to the Wharton School of Business, but even I know you must raise the taxes, not lower them, raise the taxes to fill the void that's being left by people who don't want to pay the current high taxes. I mean, come on, Drew. Yeah. Don't be a dummy. That's common sense. That's just common sense.
You need to have another conversation with Newsom.
I didn't have a conversation with Newsom.
You didn't have one about this.
He doesn't know about this.
All right.
He doesn't know about anything other than being reelected by the people who aren't paying taxes.
Hmm.
So he doesn't care about anything other than that. And I think he's a little bit of an intellectual lightweight because he certainly had difficulty making his point over the course of 20 minutes on something that he brought up.
I'll tell you who's not intellectually lightweight. The people at LegalZoom.
Ah, yeah. They're smart. I love those guys. Ah, they're the geniuses. And by the way, this country was built by the Edisons and the Fords and the Jobs and the Newsomsums.
The Newsoms?
Yeah, this month, LegalZoom celebrates innovation by helping you launch your dream. You can apply for a patent, register a trademark, protect your product, incorporate, form an LLC, launch your business, and you do it all at LegalZoom.com.
I have used them. They really are good. Celebrate innovation with LegalZoom, and for a limited time, get a special price on trademark, copyright, and patent applications if you use the referral code Drew, D-R-E-W, not Dr. Drew, just Drew, at checkout. Protect your creations, launch your dream at LegalZoom.com. LegalZoom can provide self-help services at your specific direction, or they can connect you to an attorney, but they are not a law firm. Don't forget to use that referral code, Drew, D-R-E-W.
All right. Should we take some phone calls here?
Please
Drew?
Do. Yes.
Before we hop on the phone, let me tell you, me and Dr. Drew, reunion tour, August 16th all the way through the 25th. We're going to be all over Newport, Rhode Island, Boston, Hampton Beach, Carmel. Just go to the website. If you want to see me and Drew, we're coming somewhere around you. Again, Carmel all the way through Newport, Rhode Island. Just come find us through the middle of August, through the end of August. And as I said, me and my Mangria coming up tonight, 6 o'clock, Lily's, Times Square. So if you're in New York, you want to come by and say hi, do that. And you know about fundanything.com. Yes.
I'm actually looking forward to that August tour. I think that's going to be a lot of fun.
I think so, too.
Interesting parts of the country and stuff. Another quick thing. We had a call up there that just dropped off. It was somebody asking if you have to go to AA meetings. I just wanted to address it real quick. In the meantime, Gary, I want you to look up that podcast I did with the guys, the moderation guys. I'll give them the episode number. But here's my thing. If you don't want to go to AA meetings, what I hear is I don't want to stop drinking. And so that's – it's sort of a catch-22. The reality is there are other things you can do. Cognitive behavioral therapy, individual therapies can be helpful. If you go to meetings and go diligently, you will get better. So not wanting to is a little bit putting yourself at risk. I did a Dr. Drew podcast, which, by the way, have a lot of listeners here that have not checked out my podcast. I wish you please would. They're really quite interesting, quite good. And I did one on some moderation, guys. It was episode 50. Check it out, episode 50, and we discuss all of this stuff if you're interested.
All right. Let's talk to, Henry.
Okay.
Line 4. Henry?
Hi.
Hey,
thanks
Henry.
For taking my call.
You betcha.
My pleasure. You're 25, calling from Minneapolis.
So my problem is that I have a 16-year-old brother who has pervasive developmental disorder. And my question is, I mean, I think we have an okay relationship, but my question is whether or not you've seen people in your own life or read about people, or especially sort of 16-year-old boys who have kind of grown out of it. Well, and it's very frustrating.
What is pervasive developmental disorder?
What exactly are we talking about here? What are the manifestations?
It's sort of, he's kind of like a 12-year-old sometimes. I mean, like he's a few years or, you know, sometimes it seems like more than that.
So he has a significant developmental delay.
I don't know. I was hanging around with my 16-and-a-half-year-old nephew, and it's like, hey, buddy, we're going to go drive. I don't drive. Do you have your driver's license? No. Do you want to drive?
Is that weird?
Not really.
There's a lot of that in 16-year-olds.
What kind of cars do you like? I don't know.
Yeah.
Prius?
Right.
We should be doing donuts in a parking lot right now.
They don't see it that way. That was us. That was a different generation.
I know, but every 16-and-a-half-year-old now feels like either 34-year-old or 11-year-old.
But I think this is really 11-year-old developmentally. And so that's a brain problem. And so exactly how that's going to play out into adulthood is sometimes difficult to predict. Have you talked to his doctors?
My parents haven't really taken to a psychiatrist in a long time. I mean, he was diagnosed with that as a toddler.
No, I understand, but it's time to take him in and see, you know, what can be done to improve his developmental delays, what kind of therapies. There are things that can be done to improve the deficiencies that are biological, and you can work on that. It's going to be an impairment. It's going to be a lifelong impairment, but exactly how severe and exactly in what context, is it social, is it cognitive, is it all the above, that has to be carefully evaluated.
Hey, Henry.
Yep. Where,
is there a place in Minneapolis, the Polish joint that has all the great sausage and all that kind of stuff? What's it called?
It's called Kramarzyk.
It's got a crazy name.
Kramarzyk.
Yeah. One of the it's reason 128 why I hate this city. It's like every place we travel, we always go, let's get some Hungarian food, let's get
you
some German food.
Angeles,
yeah, let's get some Polish food. Because
you
go to these places, you can get some good sausage and kraut and stuff like that. Yeah.
Oh, there it is. Kramarzyk.
I couldn't figure out. Somebody had to tell me how to say it. But yeah, they've got all kinds of food. They've got German food.
Oh, love that place.
Look at that.
Had a great moment.
Goulash.
We love it. Me and Mike August and Mike Lynch, we travel and we go. Had a great moment where it was crowded, so I went and got a table while they all went and got my sort of buffet stuff.
Yeah.
And as I sat down at the table, an employee, young guy, sat down at the table with me, and he said, do you mind if I sit here and just have my break and eat my lunch too? And I said, no, not for now, but I'm saving this for a group of guys that are coming back. And it was four chair table, and there were three of us.
Yeah.
And at a certain point, all Mike and all the guys got back with the trays and set the beers down and everything. And then he said, he slid over one chair on the picture of me and him, and he said, "You mind if I just stay here and eat with you guys?" And I had to say, "Yes."
That's huevos.
Yes, I do mind.
That's huevos.
I don't want a 17-year-old guy who works at Polish Joint listening to me complain about Hollywood.
Oh, God.
So we took a picture with him and told him to move on.
Did you see the...
But it's really a weird, uncomfortable moment where the guy just stares at you and goes, "Do you mind if I sit in this empty seat at your table?" And you have to go, there's really... There's no... At this point, you're going, normally, I love it when strangers eat with me.
Yeah.
But in this particular case, my Aunt Connie's coming in, and she... There's no thing other than... Yes, I mind. You must move. But we took a picture.
The picture's up there on the website. And also, do you notice on the website, for however you pronounce it, they have a kielbasa countdown.
Oh.
Kielbasa countdown with a K.
That's what me and my – that's our code for sex on the weekend.
I figured. There it is. Kielbasa countdown. 51 days, 10 hours, 29 minutes.
I can't hold out that. Oh, yeah, yeah. No, right. Understood. There's a kielbasa countdown. Yeah. But in all of Los Angeles – a world, I would argue this is racist against the white man. There is a million Thai food places. There is a million Indian places.
Mexican.
Oh, well.
We got great Mexican.
Thank you. But we have 700,000. Yes, it's great. Thank you for making my
point. We have an overabundance of that.
Overabundance of everything. And then, like I said, Indian food or Middle Eastern food versus just sausage and
you can't get Western European
potatoes.
No Eastern Western European
does not exist.
No.
All right,
get them properly evaluated. Be a part of that process. Find out what can be done to improve the outcome, and just get into it. Do what you can because there's stuff to be done.
All right, smoking a hookah.
I really don't know much about that. I looked it up years ago because it started becoming popular.
What are you smoking? Tobacco?
He'll tell you. Ask him. There's all kinds of stuff they put in it. Sometimes it's pot or hash.
Well, I'm assuming it's always pot and hash.
Bryson?
Yeah.
So what stuff are you smoking in the hookah?
I believe it's referred to as shisha.
Yeah.
Kind of like a wet tobacco.
Yeah.
When you look at it, it looks like pulled pork.
Is that that chick whose hips don't lie?
Shisha. Exactly.
Or did she host that show out of Rio from the 80s?
It's funny.
Either way.
Born then.
Mm-hmm.
But any tobacco, not good. Any smoke, not good. So even if you're not smoking tobacco, I know they put lots of other strange things in there. It's just not going to be good for your lungs at very minimum. Whether it's going to cause cancer, whether you're going to get addicted to it, dependent on that's all.
It's calling from Battle Creek, Michigan.
There's actually like hookah lounges. Like,
no, I know.
You know, people will go and... Now these Arabian guys will give you a hookah and you sit there for 4 hours.
Like that. Walking around,
this guy's old school.
Named Bryson, I love that. Do you get called Brian a lot?
Nope, usually just Bryson.
Yeah, I know that's your name, but what I'm saying is
did anybody misread it?
When you're talking to people and go, I'm Bryson, and they go, "Nice to meet you, Brian."
Yeah, I have to say it 3 or 4 times. Or right. They'll just call me Bryce, and usually if they're really lazy, they'll just be B.
Right, but the point... Okay.
You can't get it.
All right.
You can't
No hookah for Yuka. Too dumb to smoke hookah. I'll tell you what he's not too dumb for. Hulu Plus.
This is... My kids use this shit. Hulu Plus is awesome.
Yeah. You can... it used to just be Hulu on your PC, but now with the Hulu Plus, the world is your oyster, baby, because... I mean, that's all the world is.
Can I say something?
World is wrong. Thousands of shows, you want, whenever you want.
We have great people that advertise. It's really nice that the people that advertise on our show are products that I can really get behind, and this is definitely one of them.
It is.
Yeah. And people, we need our listeners to get behind it, too, and they will not be disappointed.
No, I wholeheartedly agree. You can watch the shows you want to watch, when you want to watch them, where you want to watch them. They have the classic stuff. They have the new stuff, what's on today, what was on yesterday. You can get connected. You can go through your TV, game consoles, Blu-ray players, Roku, Apple TV. Watch from anywhere on your smartphone, your tablet. Boom, stuck in the airport. No problemo. $7.99 a month, but our listeners get a special extended free trial. Just go to HuluPlus.com/ADD. That is /ADD. That's HuluPlus.com/ADD for extended special free trial. All right, you got another call you like a
five.
All right, line five. Sean, 48, Seattle.
Good morning, gentlemen. I'm a big, huge fan of both of you guys, and it's a privilege to talk to both of you.
And Sean, thanks for waiting so long. I really do appreciate it.
Absolutely. Hey, I just had a quick question. I am absolutely obsessed with Loveline, and I've been listening to old episodes over the last couple of weeks, and I noticed that in every single episode, at least four or five times, you mentioned the fax number, yet I never once, over all the years I've listened to, heard you refer to somebody faxing in an answer or anything like that, and just wondered what the purpose of the fax line was every single time.
Well, to me, it was so somebody could tell our producer, Ann, that me and Drew were doing a talk show behind the back of our third host, Ricky Rackman.
Oh, okay.
That's
you got to, expl-
that
you
ever
to explain that now.
It was a great, it was a great impulse on her part. Somebody faxed in, I think, that they were in the audience watching us tape Loveline on MTV.
No, not, it was the pilot.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Loveline, the pilot.
Yeah.
On was not on MTV.
For
it was Loveline, the pilot.
Yeah.
And we didn't want our third cohort, Ricky Rackman, to find out about it because we thought it'd be hurtful to him and cause conflict and whatever. But producer Ann didn't see it that way. She thought it'd be a better idea to get the facts and only show it to Ricky.
Pull him aside.
Pull him aside, show it to Ricky, and then have him ask us on the air, you know, what we did last weekend, what we were up to, if we saw each other, and things like that. Of course, we weren't privy to the information.
So
but
we were
again,
like, nothing. I don't know what's going on.
That's just good producing. That's just good
Gary
producing.
Gary would do that. Chris would do that.
That's, by the way, when people want to know why chicks get 70 cents to the dollar, that's the impulse. No, that's a very chick-like thing to do, and it should have been left.
He was creating
out of the
drama,
office.
For sure. Somebody likes drama. Hey, Sean.
Yes.
You still there?
Nice job,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah. I think the conceit was, hey, man, we're cool. We're up with the latest technology. You can even fax us questions, and we'll respond.
I couldn't read.
I know. I would read them. But
you didn't read them either.
Because they never really came through, but they still wanted to give the sense
that—
Well,
they came through. We just didn't want to talk to you that way. We want to go back and forth.
Well, right. The idea was flawed in its inception because really what Loveline is about is the relationship, you know, us talking to you guys, not answering an abstract question. And so we kind of beat that down eventually. So it was sort of a weird conceit about, oh, we have all the technologies available for you to reach us.
Yeah. And it's also stupid radio stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, listen, you think that's archaic? It was 2008 when Jack Silver, program director from KLSX, had what I would call a groundbreaking idea. Maybe too far ahead of its time.
What was it?
Literally too far ahead of its time to create what I would call a rating bonanza, which is, Ace Man, why don't we start giving out the time?
Oh, my God. How about the traffic and the weather, too?
I said, well, Jack, first off, I've done three-hour diatribes on why we're giving out the time when the device that you use to listen to this program has a clock built into it, whether it's the car radio or whether it's the alarm on your bedstand, there's a clock built in.
Yes. Radio.
Banks figured this out 20 years ago, and that's why they don't put the time on the side of their sign anymore when you're going down Ventura Boulevard. But I told him, even though it was a capital idea, and no doubt would...
Did you drop your monocle at that point? Or you put it in?
Well, it would
capital
result
idea,
in a ratings, like I said, just an avalanche, a bonanza of ratings. Yeah. But we were also on in different time zones. Either way, that's what you call producing. I don't know what a greater example of producing was, the pulling the facts out, handing it to Ricky Rackman, or suggesting I should get the time.
Any favorite
but
episodes?
But that's the greatness of radio.
Sean?
Oh, they're all great. I specifically like the ones where there were no guests, and that's what I've been listening to mostly lately. I mean, there's a couple where I really enjoyed the guests, but just listening to you guys with no guests and no interruptions and Adam going off for an hour and a half.
Hold on.
Was just,
wait a second.
Was just awesome.
Wait, Adam talking too much? A lot?
I know.
Wow.
Look how long I've been on hold, for God's sakes.
Ah, love you, baby. And
Adam.
I like the ones with no guests, too. What can I say?
Hear that dig?
Yeah.
About how long he's been on hold? Oh, through boy. Your talker?
Mm-hmm. Listen. So? On hold, listening to who? Me. Talk. Yeah, we used to tell the idiots at MTV we didn't need guests either, but... No such luck.
Yeah, they didn't like that so much.
And they said, you know, the beauty of TV is they go, we need to put a chick in between you two.
Yeah.
And we said, no, you don't. And they said, oh, yeah.
We have to.
We have to.
Yeah.
And then they put a chick in between us. And then next year rolled around. Where is she? Ah, she didn't work out. Okay. Put another chick between you. Where is she next year? Ah, she didn't work out. All right. Put another chick between us. Where is she next year? Ah, she didn't work out. She didn't work out, or maybe your fucking horrible idea didn't work out. Did you ever think about that? Do you realize all the imbeciles we've had to deal with and listen to over the years? And who, Drew? Who was the one who called them imbeciles the entire time?
Well, I don't think you were out with imbecile. That was to me you would call them imbecile. But you would announce to them that history would not be kind to their decisions. Repeatedly.
Yes.
Repeatedly.
I would also then tell them that I'm going to save them from themselves by not employing their horrible idea.
Yeah.
And I would also then never do what they asked me to do.
Yep. That's all true.
We would have directors with meetings with our program director, Kevin, and he would say, less talking, more calls. And what would I do?
More talking, less calls.
That's right. That's all I ever did.
Speaking of which, go to calls. Go to line one.
All right. Line one. Hello, Jeff from San Francisco.
Hey, guys. How's it going? Big fan.
Good.
So I'm in a relationship with my boyfriend for about 3 years, and the relationship is great. I love him to death. We have a pretty we go out a lot, and once in a while he'll get really drunk and belligerent to the point where he's mean, he's nasty, he'll ruin the evening, he'll get violent, and everything is great except for this one part, and it seems like it kind of dominates our social life when it happens.
How often does that happen?
Once a month, and we'll go out and kind of drink heavily every weekend.
So it's
once a month?
Once a month it breaks through, or once a week it breaks through?
True.
So we go about 1 to 4 times, so like once a month it'll just get just unbelievably ridiculous.
Drew, who are these people that get very nasty when they get drunk?
Yeah. There is two versions of that. One is, and the same thing happens with pills sometimes too, that some people have a distinct personality change when they cross a certain threshold of intoxication. It can be low for some people, like a couple glasses of wine. It can be further along where they just become aggressive and nasty. And they're on drugs. They're on alcohol. And it's not as though they're like, oh, this is my real feelings coming forth. No, that's bullshit. They're on drugs. The drug is alcohol, and it distorts their personality.
How much of that is that? I mean, I know it's easy to go, no, it's a truth serum or something
bullshit,
like that.
Bullshit.
No, I know that's bullshit, but I also know mild-tempered people who get drunk and are just drunk versions of themselves.
Yes.
And I know a lot of people are just drunk versions of themselves. And I know nasty people do get nastier. And I also know nice people who can get
nasty.
They're not nasty, but sort of childlike in a naivete, you know, like in a way where they wouldn't say anything normally, but then they get drunk and they go, you know, everyone's talking about how much weight you've gained.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So it's like a sort of mean kid kind of way, not throw a punch kind of way. But there has to be an element of something.
Yes,
Yes. I know these guys, Chris Maxipata, Matt, the Porcelain Punisher, Fondelier. Those guys, I've seen them drunk. They're just drunk versions of themselves. They're still nice.
Listen, I understand that. And yes, your point is well taken that it's a version of that person. It's some aspect of that person that is amplified. But I would argue it's unfair to that person to say, well, that's their real self coming out.
No, I don't.
That's all I'm saying.
But somewhere in between that there is some feelings in them.
Yeah.
And that, you know, if they're, you know, calling you a fat whore the entire time they're drunk, that's something to look at. in that it's not simply all contained inside the bottle of booze.
Right. I would agree, although I've seen some extreme reactions.
It does happen. Yeah. All right. So
here's the deal. That was one version, by the way, of just a normie that crosses a threshold. The more common thing, though, is you're dealing with an alcoholic. In fact, this is all signs of alcoholism. You're drinking heavily every weekend. You're having severe consequences.
Said once a month.
No, he said they drink heavily every weekend, and once a month he goes out of control.
Is
that correct, Jeff?
Yes, that's
heavily,
right.
Heavily every weekend,
yeah. But he doesn't always go off the rails.
Right.
Well, maybe you're asking for it once a month.
So look at the family history. If there's a family history of alcoholism, this is
you
some
eyeballing
of,
him?
This is some of the this is some of the
guys eyeball me. They know what they're doing.
Some of the manifestations of that is consequence on relationships. God knows if he were out and you weren't taking care of him, there would be legal consequences. There might be health consequences. And that's all, if the family history is there, that's some of the early manifestations of alcoholism, and that needs to be addressed. And it's not addressed by going out and drinking heavy every weekend.
I'll tell you what needs to be addressed. Go to meeting.
That's right. Summer is great. Kids are out of school. The weather's hot. But even when you're not at work, business doesn't stop. You can use GoToMeeting with HD Faces by Citrix. Be away from the office and still stay connected. Share the screen and work on documents in real time, plus the built-in HD video conferencing. It's like meeting in person and being able to work like you're passing the documents across the table. Yes.
Love it.
It's awesome. Launch or join a meeting from any computer, smartphone, or tablet, even an iPad. 30 days free. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click the Try It Free button. Use the promo code. I like the way these ads go because this is a Dr. Drew.
Mm-mm.
Use the promo code DRDREW, Dr. Drew. Forget Adam. That's DR Drew.
All right. And great sponsors. We use them here all the time. Me and Drew going out on a reunion tour starting in the middle of August. So go check that out. You can find it online. See if we're coming to a town near you. FundAnything.com/Roadhard. See that Cranston video. I think you guys, he really needs to be seen to see just what a skilled actor he is.
Truly.
And tonight, 6 o'clock, Lily's Times Square. Come say hi. Have a little mangria with me. And me and Jay Moore, Wiltern Theater, August 3rd. Come out, hang out. So, until next time, Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew, Chris Maxpata, and Gary Haftard saying mahalo. Now that the show's over, don't forget to sign up for your free trial at Hulu Plus and start watching your favorite hit TV shows right now. For your extended free trial, go to HuluPlus.com/ADD. Again, that's HuluPlus.com/ADD, and thank you.
This is Corolla Digital.